Good to see this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with us. We want you to know we consider you to be honored guests. So grateful that you've taken time to come and be with us as we worship the God of heaven and serve Him. We're thankful that you've made your presence this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Judges in the third chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. And while you're getting your Bible open, if you're visiting and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we invite you to open your Bible with an open mind and an open heart and study the Word of God. Should I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find truth to be taught, our prayer is that you would make the proper application. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be buried with Him in the grave of baptism, as is taught in Acts 2:38. Be raised to walk in newness of life and be a child of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Or if you need to be restored while we're standing and singing, we'll pray that you would want to make your life right this very morning. In the book of Judges and the third chapter, look with me beginning at verse 12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they'd done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Amnon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of Palms. So the children of Israel served King Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and he fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone image that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silence. And all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. At this particular time, you'll remember the setting of our text. And that we might fully appreciate it, you'll recall that the people of God had been in violation of the will of God, and thus Moab had came and overtaken the people. But it was at this time God would raise up a judge appointed by God to guide the people. And at this time we find a man identified as Ehud who became the judge at this particular time. And you'll remember, as we've just read, that here was a man who was facing, along with his people, strong opposition. And here at this time, the people of Moab had the people oppressed. But Ehud comes with a tribute. Then he sends the people out of the room and says, I have a secret message for you. And then Eglon sends the people out of the room. And then you remember that he makes a great statement in your Bible in verse 20. In verse 20, Ehud says, I have a message from God unto thee. If you have your Bible, you might underscore that phrase, I have a message from God unto thee. And what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time is to think about that we have a message from God given to us. The first thing I want us to think about is that we need to understand that the message that we need to receive is from God. Now let me tell you, my friend, that this makes all the difference in the world if the message is from God. You know, there are other messages that have been heard. And I think you will agree, it's true today as then, that people have heard many other messages, any other statements. But I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and notice with me what the Apostle Paul said. when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. Notice what he said in verse 5. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to stop and think for just a moment. There are a lot of messages that come from the wisdom of men. There are a lot of preachers that get up and preach their opinion and not the Word. There are a lot of people today in society that preach their view and not what God has said. But I want us to stop and think about this man identified as Ehud. He came and he said, I have a message from God. He said, this is a direct message. I've often thought about, my friend, how many messages today are a far cry from the message of God. And what we need to do is get back to putting our finger on the passage and saying, this is what God has declared. But secondly, I want you to think about our young are given messages of the world to be enticed by sin. Not only is there the message of men that is foolish, but there's the message of the world that is also foolish. Look in your Bible in Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 10. And when you look at verse 10, you'll take note that at this time, the wise man says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. There's the message of the world. Come, enjoy life. Come up and live it up. Come out and do whatever you want to do. And that's the message of the world. But I'm not concerned so much about the message of the world or the message of men. I'm concerned about the message of God. Because one day I will stand before God. I will not stand before a tribunal of men for my eternal destination, but I will stand before God. But that brings up a very important statement. Let's go back for just a moment and take a note that when that man said, I have a message from God unto thee, that it affirms there is a God. This, my friend, no one should deny. Only a fool would say there is no God. And that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 14:1. No one can deny there's a God. Well, they can, but I'll tell you what the psalmist said. When they do so, they're foolish. I'll tell you, my friend, when you look at creation and you look at all that God has made and you look at God's Word, you'll find that God is there. That God is alive and God is on His throne and God reigns supreme. But the second thing I want us to think about is it affirms that God has a message for man. Some seem to labor under the impression that man can just about direct his own steps. But that's not what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said it's not in man to direct his own steps. And my friend, we need a God. And thus God has given us a God. And I want us to think about that God is the creator and man is the creature. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus, notice what he says in verse 17. In verse 17, he said, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I like that statement. I like the thought that God has a message for me. He's left the message for me, and I can understand it. He said, be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. But now think about how that message came. The Hebrew writer gives us some light upon this in a very serious manner. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, you remember he talks about that in times past, that the Word came through the prophets. But he says in these last days it's came through His Son. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly to the book of John and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 14th chapter, look at verse 26. Notice that Jesus is talking to the apostles, and notice what He says about the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Then take your Bible and look in John 16. And look at what he says in verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Underscore all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, my friend, I want us to understand the Spirit was sent to guide men into all truth. And the apostles wrote down what the Holy Spirit had revealed. Now then, look in your Bible in the book of Jude and the third verse. When you come to that small epistle of the book of Jude, you'll find where Jude said in verse 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now look at that statement very carefully. Notice that he says, contend earnestly for the faith. And then notice he said it was once delivered. You know what that means? That means when God finished revealing the Word, that sealed the book. There's no modern day revelation. There's no man-made creed. All we have is contained in the gospel, the Bible, the Word of the living God, and that, my friend, is sufficient. We have God's Word. We have what we need. God has left us a message, and we can take the Bible and read the message of God, and notice what else we're to contend for. That word contend sometimes means dispute. Sometimes we have to stand up and defend the truth. In Acts 17, your Bible talks about that Paul disputed with those in the synagogue. I want us to understand, my friend, that when we look at the message of God, that we contend for it. And it's only been delivered one time. We have what we need in the Bible. This God has sealed. Anytime somebody wants to come along and say, well, we can add to it or we can take away from it, my friend, they are undermining the authority of God. And I would this morning that we understood that God has authority because God, as we said, is the Creator. We are the creation, and thus we have to listen to His message. But that brings up something else in our study. I want you to remember that this has been confirmed by signs and miracles. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter again, and this time the second chapter. In Hebrews chapter 2, notice what he says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, underscore the word confirmed, to us by those who heard it, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. You know what we're preaching this morning? What's already been confirmed. Someone may say, why don't we have miracles today? I'll tell you why. The Word has already been confirmed. And we preach what has already been confirmed. But that brings up something else in our study. And this is a very serious part of our lesson. I have a message from God unto thee. Now to every person in this audience, there is a message from the God of heaven. First of all, to the one who's outside of Christ, the one who's living in sin. Yes, sinner friend, He has a message for you. You've never come to Christ. You've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've never put on Christ in baptism. You've never put on Christ to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. You know what God's message is to you? Come unto Me. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to understand that call is to every individual. And what more could you ask for? This shows two things. One, God is willing to save. And secondly, man must do the coming, that God will not force him to come. But His message is that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He does not want man to be lost. In 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'll tell you, my friend, we need to understand this morning, hell is real. And we need to understand that Jesus came to save us from that eternal damnation. And my message to you is, if you're not right with God, what keeps you from being right with God? What in this world is worth your soul? I have a message for you, my friend. There's nothing in this old world worth losing your soul over. But secondly, I have a message to those who've fallen away. And that is, come back to the message of God. Look at the young man in Luke 15. He'd gone out into the far country. He lived in sin. But that young man heard the message of God to come home. And thanks be to God that He made provision for one to return. That when I leave the faith and I've gone back to the world, I don't have to just give up. I can come home. I can come back. In 1 John 1:9, the Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When? When we confess them. When we come and we repent of our sin, God is willing to take us back. There are some who've slidden away from God. Some who are not walking with God. And you know what the message is? Come home. Oh, I would I could get people to see that. Come back to God. That's the message of the Word of God. I have a message from God unto thee. Come home. But there's a third thing. There's a message to Christians. And you know what that is? Several things. One, we must worship in spirit and truth. In John 4:24, Jesus said that God is a spirit and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's why He says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because He told us in verse 24, we're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're to worship together. Do you know how intimate this is that we've come together as the family of God at Eastside to worship our Father, to glorify Him? We've come together as a family to give our Father praise, to give our Father glory. And I would that we understand the importance of worshiping our God. But secondly, there's the message of work. Oh, we're told to go and teach the lost. But we're also told in Matthew 25 to help us. Have you ever thought, my friend, that's a message to the people of God, that we're to do good works? That our good works shine so that the world may glorify our Father. But then I have a message to the Christian, that there's a message that the world will never have. We have hope. You ever thought of the hope of being a Christian? You ever thought about what it means to be a child of God and to have hope, to have expectation that when you die, that you can know you'll be right with God? You remember when Paul was writing to the young preacher Titus? He says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's a message to the children of God. We hold on to our hope. We hold on when the world seems to be crumbling around, when it seems that sin is reigning, when it seems like the devil's winning. I'll tell you, my friend, as children of God, we hold on to our hope and we don't let go. But I'll tell you something else. There's a message to young people. There's a message from God unto the youth, and that is in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When your heart is young and tender, that's the time to remember God. Sometimes when we're young, we think we're going to live on, and it seems like we have all the time in the world. And I'll tell you, my friend, even young people die. But not only that, if you harden your heart to the gospel when you're young, there's a chance you'll never become a child of God. When you're young is the time to remember God and put your faith in God and build your faith in God. That brings up one more thought in the lesson here. How do we treat this message from God? Well, for the preacher, first of all, the preacher needs to remember it's the holy word of God. He needs to preach with love and power. In Acts 20, he's not to withhold any of it. And that's a great responsibility to preach the word. But I'll tell you, the hearer has a responsibility. And that is how they treat the word. Just where do you place this word in your life? Remember, this is the message of God to you. This book, this is what God has given us. I've seen the cartoon where someone said, I wish God would talk to me, and there's a Bible being handed to him. I'll tell you, my friend, that's right. God has spoken in this last time through His Word. We have all we need. We don't need a modern day revelation. And we don't need man's wisdom. What we need to do is get back to the message of God and preach that. And then I'll tell you what you have. Hope. I hope that if you're not right with God, that just as Ehud stuck that dagger in Eglon, that this dagger goes to your heart and you make your life right. I hope it cuts to the heart that if you're not right with God, you've left the faith, you'd come home. That if you've never obeyed the gospel, that you would do so. And that as the people of God, we work to glorify God and give Him praise and honor. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.